Welcome back to the Biz News Rugby podcast. This week on the show, we are joined by Brayton Paulser, a standout buck from 1999 to 2007. Brayton has 64 test caps and 26 tries to his name. Since hanging up his boots, Brayton has remained a prominent figure in rugby, especially as an analyst and pundit. But of course, I'm only scratching the surface. Rory, you know him a lot better than I do. Do you want to welcome him onto the show?
Certainly, I'd love to welcome you onto the show, Brady. And again, thank you so much for agreeing to come and see us and visit with us on Biz News Rugby. To your point, Patrick, I've known Brady since he was a Springbok, and we were assigned to do the security for the Springbok team back in the days of Bobby Skinstad's fame. And it was a crazy time. But Brayton was always one of those guys that had a big smile on his face, a laugh in his heart, and ready for a joke. But man, he was the original pocket Power Ranger, you know. He could beat you on either side, just like our wings today. He would do a flick flack every time he scored a try there in the end zone, and he became a firm favorite amongst box supporters. So 26 tries is not to be sneezed at. That's right up there, guys, as well as 60-odd Springbok caps. So apart from his Springbok palmares, I want to acknowledge Brayton as a good friend, because he is one of those guys that when you ask him, for example, to do something like come on a Biz News Rugby pod, he will always say yes. But more importantly, in my cycling charity, because Brayton is a big cyclist, he just told us off air that he's getting ready for Race for the Sun, which is a 100-plus-kilometer gravel ride up to Sun City through the heartland of the Northwest Province. But my cycling charity that raises funds for the widows and orphans of our cops killed in the line of duty, Brayton has been a fantastic supporter of that. Every time I've said to him, Brayton, could you spare 20 minutes of your time? You know, can you come and ride with us? 100%, Rose, where do you want me to be? And we're getting ready for our big ride in August at Summer Place Nature Reserve, and Brayton will hopefully be there riding with us. So I just want to acknowledge that, Brayton. You've got a heart for charity work. You understand what it is we're trying to do, and you're just an all-round great guy. And I'd like to say to you, welcome to Biz News Rugby, Brayton Paulser, Springbok legend.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Rory. Thanks for the introduction, guys. I really like it when people celebrate you when you're still alive, man, because, you know, people say all these beautiful things, you know, when you're not there anymore. But also, Rory and Pat, obviously on a sad note, you know, we lost a giant, Cornel Hendricks, sadly last night. You know, he had a heart attack, and let's just, you know, celebrate him and say that, you know, we're thinking of his family and friends in the rugby community of South Africa and across the world. And he was an absolute team man. He was a man who gave up his time as well, a man who also did a lot for his community. He had a fantastic foundation that I'm sure will carry on and celebrate his legacy going forward. So for my side, you know, I dealt with Cornel a few times. He had a lot of setbacks, and every time he got up and he defied the odds. And I think, you know, we need to celebrate these kind of people. And Cornel, we're gonna miss him for what he's done, but we will never forget his legacy.
Thank you so much for saying that, Brady. You know, I don't think anything exemplified more that warrior spirit that Rassie and the Springboks talk about, as much as when he came to the Bulls after everybody thought that perhaps his season was over, and he completely reinvented himself. He was brilliant. And I would like to join you on behalf of Biz News Rugby in saying to the entire Hendricks family that we will miss Cornel. He was a wonderfully talented wing, and he even plied his trade a little bit at center there, and just a joy to watch. Ball in hand, he was devastating. So Cornel Hendricks, rest in peace, my friend.
First story of today on today's show. Over the weekend, the Baby Box, the under-20s, lost 45-48 to the New Zealand under-20s. Rory, what were your thoughts on that game?
Well, I didn't see it, Patrick, and I was hoping that you did, Brady. I know it was in Gqeberha, and it was the final of the under-20 rugby championship. Did you happen to see it, Brady, or watch highlights?
Yes, I did see it, Rory and Pat. For me, you know, just speaking holistically about the game, the junior box were in control of that game for large periods of time. They were literally bossing the game for about 60 minutes. And like all New Zealand teams, you know, they never go away. And unfortunately, towards the end of that game, literally the last 20 minutes, New Zealand obviously got hold of the game and they almost ran away with the game. But then New Zealand also got a red card. And then, you know, the baby box couldn't capitalize on that as well. So it was a game, you know, it swung like a pendulum all the time. But unfortunately, you know, the All Blacks, they were fearless and they went out with not a lot of pressure because there was a good crowd and playing at home always had that extra pressure. But apart from that, what I've seen the last couple of weeks from the junior box is that Kevin Foot and his management is busy with something special. You know, they're building up to the World Cup later. And I can see that there are amazing signs. I mean, their captain, Riley Norton, he's been fantastic. He's been a great leader. I mean, he is a talented boy who can easily pick between rugby and cricket. And who knows, you know, which sport he will continue his fate in. But I obviously hope rugby, but he's been outstanding in there. And so there's many players who put up their hands. And I think that is important for the development of these players, these young players, to get the exposure on the highest level and to get the exposure in crunch and pressure situations and learn from that you don't make the same mistakes again. And I think this is what happened here. But I'm very excited, you know, for once to see that Kevin Foot and his management team is busy with something special.
I'm really delighted to hear that, Brady, because, you know, if you can win a World Cup, having learnt the lessons of a 3-point defeat to the All Blacks, albeit at home in the Rugby Championship, then it's worth it. And I'm so happy to hear that the pipeline that, you know, that Russie established when he was director of rugby is now producing kids like Norton and teams like our baby box that can now seriously contend for a World Cup. And we also know that Dwayne Vermeulen's kind of floating role as a coach encompasses all levels of our rugby. So it's great to see that the new generation is coming through and coming through strongly. So thanks so much for that, Brady. Come on, baby box, let's go and win ourselves a World Cup.
Yes, and also to add to that, just, you know, something probably not even related. You know, if you have to pick a junior team in South Africa, it must be one of the hardest things to do because we got such a strong youth culture of schoolboys popping out everywhere, and they are quality, Rory and Pat. And for me, you know, first of all, it must be very tough for Kevin because of the talent, and you have four or five players in a position where you can pick, you know, and you got to think of the guys also missing out. So I want to also tell that the young boys missing out, don't ever give up, because, you know, even somebody like me, I never played Kevin Week, for instance, you know, so, but I develop at a time when it was needed, and I was ready when I got the opportunity. But we all know the school system. I was at the Wildeklaver, you know, school festival the other day in Kimberley, Rory and Pat. And I tell you again, what I saw from those young boys, just heaps and heaps of talent. And it's actually scary. And that is very difficult for a guy like Kevin Foot to get the right mix as well, get the right combinations, because ultimately, you know, you can put any team out there, but you need to make sure that these guys complement each other. It's not just putting one or two or three players in. They need to be chemistry. They need to be energy. And they also need to be dynamic and also good team players for the team. We've seen what Russie has done. You can be the best player in the world, but if you can't fit into a specific team culture, you know, where you have accountability and responsibility, we won't pick you.
Now, Brady, that's great news. And as you said, we've got this glut of talent. I mean, every year, Craven Week just produces more and more boys of exceptional talent. And I think you're correct. I think the genius is in getting the right ones into the right positions, because those coaches don't have a lot of time. After a Craven Week, the players don't know one another. They don't play against, or they play against, so they might not play or practice regularly together. So the genius is in as the Afrikaners say, a coach with a span brei. You know, you've got to knit them together. So I mean, the future's bright, Brady. Thank you for giving us that rundown, because I haven't seen the game.
And speaking about South African rugby talents, Springbok coach Russie Erasmus has unveiled his 54 player squad for the upcoming alignment camps.
Any surprises there, Brady?
Yeah, I mean, everybody is talking about Ntokozo, you know, the Vastika player who has who's been invited as well. He's been so strong for the Ike Tigers. He literally had probably the best season as well, you know, in the Varsity Cup. And I think that is the beauty of Rassie Erasmus. Obviously, I'm an advocate for the little men, as you guys know, the chairman of the little men. And I'm so happy, you know, Rassie keeps selecting these guys because they do make magic. And I think playing in a Springbok setup where there's such big monsters in the team, you know, guys like that can flourish at the end. We've seen the likes of Jason Colby and Curtly Arnson destroying, you know, defenses all over the world at the highest level. So, again, not many surprises. I think the usual suspects are there, you know. But it's a massive season coming up. I'm also very happy for a guy like Troki Jarno Augustus. Yeah, he plays playing for North, and he'll be playing in the final as well, the Champions Cup. Yes, he's been pretty strong as well. His ball-carrying ability, he just gets on with it. Him and Henry Pollock, I thought they were outstanding in that quarterfinal against semifinal against Leinster. You know, it's absolutely outstanding to see guys getting rewarded if they do well. It's good to see a guy like Ethan Hooker as well. I've been really impressed with him. You know, he's also versatile. He can play wing, fullback, and center. But you know, the bulk of the team are there, obviously. This year for me is going to be very interesting to see, having the World Cup in mind, who Rassie will keep from the elder statesmen and from the youngsters, you know, coming through. How many opportunities will a guy like Cameron Anacombe, for instance, get? You know, he's been outstanding. He's been knocking on the door. We see a guy like Renzo Duplessis, who's been amazing for the Lions in really tough conditions. You know, they had a tough season so far. And then, The normal guys are there, you know, the leadership, the experience. And then we have, you know, obviously like the youngsters coming through. I mean, a guy like Kaden Moody is still so young, but he's becoming a veteran already. And that is what you want. I just like the fact that Rassie and his management team is giving younger players opportunity and not wait till they 30 or 35 before they become a Bok.
No, thanks for that. And we wish the Springbok management and the team everything of the best as they prepare for this season. Brady, what do you hear out of Japan? I mean, a lot's been said by Jake, especially about Curtly going there. What do you hear from our boys in Japan? You know, we don't always get all the news there. Is your ear to the ground?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you don't want to speculate too much. We all know, you know, what kind of a professional Curtly is, and certainly one of the best players in the world as we speak. Obviously, Jake made his... He made his voice very public in saying that there's a bit of a tricky situation and it's going to happen, you know, for years to come. But unfortunately, it has been happening for a couple of years now where players do go on a sabbatical to Japan and then they come back and play for the likes of the Bulls, the Stormers, and the Sharks. Guy like Lukanya Am as well did it a couple of years back. For me, you know, unfortunately, rugby players' career is only as long, let's say, you know, 10 to 15 years if you're not, you know, injury prone and stuff like that. So I feel that in the modern day game, if a player can make good money as well and stay professional, you know, towards his teams and also doing it in the right sort of way and manner where you don't sort of, you know, burn your bridges. There's nothing wrong with going to a place like Japan and have that financial advantage whereas you, you know, make sure that, you know, once you're done, that you and your family are sort of looked after. So, I think Jake has been very strong with a lot of things, you know, in his team setup lately. And I mean, that's just Jake. He's very unique. You know, he will call players out in the media sometimes. I'm not a big fan of that, to be honest. I'm not a big fan of it. I think, you know, some of those things must be dealt with behind closed doors. You can destabilize a squad, you know, if you pick on individuals and players talk. And I mean, that's the last thing you want. You know, the last thing you want is the dressing room to turn on you. And for me, you know, I mean, obviously Jake's got nothing to lose and he's a very strong guy. And I know he's set very high standards for his team, but I just feel sometimes, you know, you need to be very careful how you handle. Ultimately, these guys are also human beings and they don't take that criticism very kind.
You know, we were talking off air, Brady. We're seeing the same thing in cricket. You know, the IPL is a massive opportunity for young men to set themselves up, set up their future. But I think you are spot on when you say it's how you go about it. You've got to maintain your dignity, your values, and your ethics, and you've got to manage the ability to earn from rugby as well as be loyal to, you know, the franchise that discovered you, developed you, and so on. So it's never easy, but I think there's always a right way and a wrong way to do that. So we wish Kirtley well. I mean, he is, as you say, absolutely right up there with the top wingers playing rugby today. And just back to what you were saying about the little guy and our Varsity Cup friend from UCT, Ikeys, who got called up. I just want to reiterate, Brady, you were the start of all that, man. At the time when big men were needed, you were the one that proved the, you know, bucked the trend and proved that little guys with great skills, a lot of speed, a lot of courage, especially in the air, you know, can do it. So, Kirtley, we wish you well, my friend. Yeah, thanks, Brady.
And then something we just missed out on last week, Rory. I think the squad was announced maybe a couple hours after we recorded. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but you do have an update here on the British and Irish Lions.
Yeah, more so their opposition. Joseph Suali was injured, I think, this past weekend in Super Rugby. Right, he'd broken his jaw, but they're saying that he will be healed and recovered in time to face that team there on the screen, the British and Irish Lions. So we wish him well. And as Brayton was saying earlier, you know, the average number of replacements on a British and Irish Lions tour is 9. So as Brayton was saying, you know, if you don't make it, he was talking about the baby box. If you don't initially make it, Brayton himself never played Craven Week. Just keep doing what you're doing and keep performing at the best of your ability, because when that opportunity comes, you got to grab it. So there will always be an opportunity for boys who were unfortunate. I see that one of the Irish pundits said that Mac Hansen and I think was it Jack Conan? He said they were lucky to make the team. And, you know, selection is a very subjective thing. So those guys who narrowly missed out, just keep the faith, man. Keep believing. There will be up to 9 spots opening up. And we wish Suali all the best. He's one of the rising stars, together with Sasha and Henry Pollock, that the world rugby needs to see those young boys performing at a high level. So recover well, but what a tour to look forward to. Yeah,
it's always exciting. I mean, whether they play, you know, Australia, the All Blacks, or South Africa, it's always there's always lots of eyes on the British and Irish ones. And I just want to reiterate that you know, a guy like Henry Pollock, who probably wasn't even in the plans, he played a stormer against Leinster. And I mean, we all know how good a team Leinster is in Ireland. And obviously, you know, the coach couldn't leave him out of the team. But again, we need those characters. I like his style. I like the way that he's have these little gimmicks, you know, when he scores tries or when he do something on the field. It's kind of new for rugby. We see it a lot in football, you know, Rory and Pat. And I think, for me, yeah, we need these characters in the game. I mean, it's just fantastic that a guy like him are not scared of reputations. I mean, he went out and had a field day, so to speak, out there. And the confidence of him is absolutely great. I must say one surprise omission for me is a guy like Owen Farrell. You know, his dad was very cruel to him. I feel that, you know, all the 10, if you look at Finn Russell, Finn Smith and Marcus Smith, they're kind of the same kind of 10. And a guy like Owen Farrell, he brings a different dimension to the table in terms of physicality and very good tactically as well. So I was very surprised. I have to say, very surprised that his dad didn't pick him for the store. But again, like you said, Rory, injuries do happen, and he's on the standby list.
And he can cover 12, you know, and he's just such a competitor, such a warrior. Not necessarily a favorite of South Africans, but if you speak to the South Africans that have played with him at Saracens, they say he's 100% a great guy, and he just loves rugby and he loves winning at rugby. So you're right, Brady. I think they might miss him initially, but you never know. First injury to 10, 12, he's in.
And then moving on to the URC this weekend, it's the last round of the group stage before we go into the playoffs. Now, there's a few big stories this weekend. Defending champions, your Glasgow Warriors, Rory, could slip all the way down to 4th with an away loss to Leinster and the Sharks win over the Scarlets. The Stormers have secured a spot in the playoffs but could move down from 5th if they lose to the 9th placed Cardiff, who will need a win to get into the playoffs or just to have a chance. We've got Benetton in 7th against 8th placed Munster in what is essentially a knockout game. 10th placed Edinburgh will need a home win against Ulster plus some other results to go in their way for them to break in. And then of course the Scarlets, who are playing the Sharks away, will want to win to stay into the top 8. I mean, I think Benetton versus Munster, that's got to be a must-watch this weekend, surely.
Sure. And, you know, to your point, and Breton asked me about it, you know, I've received so many questions from people like, what's going on at Glasgow? And I think what we've got to do is just trust Franco. They're clearly not the team that they were this time in the season last year. But there's too much quality there and too much intellectual property just to write them off. But I think it's likely that they are going to end fourth. And then they're going to probably play the Sharks. The Sharks or the Stormers are probably going to have to travel to Scotstoun to play that quarterfinal in Glasgow. So there's everything to play for this weekend. I don't know how you see it, Brayton. You can see on the right there, those guys are basically out of contention. I don't see either of the Welsh franchises beating the Sharks or the Stormers. How do you see this weekend, Brayton?
Yeah, at the moment, you know, if you look at the form teams, a team like the Stormers is really in form. But sadly, it looks to me like the Stormers are going to have to maybe travel to Glasgow. You know, if my predictions are right, because Glasgow's obviously playing Leinster, and I just feel that depending on what team is Leinster is going to put out, that's going to be crucial for who's playing who at the moment. And that's why that I don't think you know, anybody can catch the top four anymore. Obviously, so for me, Glasgow Bulls, Sharks, who I also see winning this weekend, I think they pretty much secured for home quarterfinals. So I think the top four will pretty much stay the same. It is just that I think you know, the Sharks could end up, if Glasgow doesn't get points, they could end up, you know, in third. But again, we're going to have to wait and see what's going to go on, because Glasgow's got a couple of players back as well, and they're going to be desperate. And when a team is desperate, they sometimes perform to the best of their ability. So for me, I'm a little bit worried at the moment, because the Stormers seems to have found their mojo. But to go and play in Scotland against Glasgow, it's never easy. Stormers haven't had good results in Scotland. But other than that, you know, it's up to the other teams just playing it out for the last sort of three spots, I feel. I think 6, 7, and 8 will be decided over the weekend, obviously. But again, it's been fantastic, you know, watching the URC building momentum and certainly now finding it towards the business end of the season are playing out nicely. So we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. We can predict as much as we want, but ultimately, you know, it's up to the desperate teams to fight for those remaining places.
Yeah, you're right, Brady. We mustn't put the cart before the horse, because we've still got to get through this round 18. But what a weekend. And as you said, the great news for South African franchises is that, with the exception of the Lions, who I don't know what's happening there, they were just disappointing this season, but the Bulls, the Stormers, and the Sharks have really come good at the right time. They've hit their form. So now we need to find a way for that to happen in the Investec Champions Cup and in the European Challenge Cup next year, so that we're competing where we should be.
Just before we close off, just one last story. I believe yesterday it was announced the new Women's World Cup trophy. World Rugby described the trophy as an iconic symbol of a truly global game. What do you guys think of the new trophy?
I like that. It's got a feminine form to it. Yeah, what do you think, Bretty? Yeah.
I saw it. I'm like, it's pretty, you know, and I think it's synonymous with women's rugby.
And massive ticket sales already. I mean, given the fact that it's being played in England, will always be, women's rugby is popular there. The England team is very strong. So the ticket sales have already exceeded that of the previous Women's World Cup played in New Zealand. But do either of you know, do we know, guys, whether that trophy is named after a specific person, like the Webb Ellis trophy is?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, that's something for all of our BizNews tribe to research. It's coming up in September. I think it's going to be a great World Cup, and I think it's going to be well supported by men and women, which is good. But as I was, as we close off BizNews Rugby this year, Brady, where are we going to see and hear you, my friend? Where are you commentating? Where are you going to be at the weekend? Which games?
Yeah, because, you know, it's before the quarterfinals. I asked the guys to give me off this weekend because I'm doing that race.
Oh, you're doing
so
the race.
So I'll also hopefully, you know, finish in time my race to watch some TLC who's taking it over. But I'll obviously, watching the Friday night, I will watch the Stormers game. But unfortunately, Saturday, you know, I'm out this weekend. So I'll also be a fan shouting, you know, to the screen
Excellent, Brady. And you know, that's a lekker day because you do a lot of hard work on the bike. You get your heart rate up, you push those Ks out, and you sweat a lot. And then you get back, you have a shower, and you justifiably can just sit on the rust bunk and watch the games in, you know, on Saturday afternoon, you know, have a braai, you know, get that scarp choppy on the coals there and have a cold one, Brady. So with that said, we look forward to seeing you in the quarterfinal. We wish you well on the race to the sun at the weekend. Please keep the rubber on the road and stay upright. And thank you so much, Brady. Springbok legend Brayton Paulser making his debut appearance on BizNews Rugby. Brayton, thank you. Have a great weekend, BizNews Tribe. Enjoy the rugby.